welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I just want to minister a brief word this morning. It's relevant just not to our ongoing teaching. We'll wait till more of the church is back, but I just want to speak what God's put in my heart relative to this day. But could we say the 23rd Psalm together? Can we do that? Awesome Psalm. You know, it's a shepherd song. Came from the shepherd king. And the king to compare with him, except Jesus. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I say that again because I don't think you've got that first line. That first line is the biggest line there is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it with me again. And then we'll carry straight. My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's an awesome psalm. That's an awesome psalm. It's written by one of the greatest figures in the Bible. King David, the shepherd boy, the young man that was able to pen those words because he had a revelation of God. It wasn't a religious one. It was even more than a personal one. The most important thing in David's life was his God. He didn't have Jesus Christ as his example. He was an Old Testament saint where everybody lived by works. And yet he had a revelation of who God is. And that is this. He had this revelation. God is love. And it was out of that revelation that he was able to pen the words of this psalm, which everyone knows and enjoys. But look how it opens up. He set the standard for the rest of the verses of this psalm in his first line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Full stop. I shall not want. He is a very present help in the time of need and trouble. He never leaves me or nor forsakes me. Hallelujah. He's a very present help. I shall not want. That's an open-ended statement. You can put whatever you wish over that or under it, and it will be included in that statement. There is nothing that can be left out of it. I shall not want. You need to apply that to yourself today, maybe. I don't know. Is there an area where there is lack, where there is want? And don't immediately say, think of terms of finance. That's fine, you can do that if you need. But open your heart and say, where do I lack? Do I lack in my relationship with you, Father? Oh, Father, I want to know you more then. Ask Him. Is there a family issue? Are there circumstances that the enemy's put around you and you're allowing those circumstances to direct your life instead of God directing your life? Are those circumstances causing you to behave in a way which, if they weren't there, you wouldn't behave this way? You wouldn't do this, that, or the other. But these circumstances are making you act that way, do that, or think that way. Well, praise God. He had a revelation whereby he was able to say, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, he just went straight to his shepherd. He understood all about that because he was the great shepherd on earth. He understood that. There was nothing that he would not do for his sheep. He took on the bear. He took on the lion. He didn't hesitate to do that. And you know why he was bold to be able to do that in the natural? Because he was bold in his revelation of who his God was. And as he was sure that if he, just a ruddy-faced boy, the Bible says, 12 to 14 years of old, would do that for some simple sheep, he would take on a lion and a bear. He knew, if he would do that, he knew that he who was made in the image and likeness of God, his dad would do that and more, whatever it took. I want to tell you, what we do reflects the relationship we have with dad. What you are willing to act like demonstrates whether you really are his son or not. How you deal with issues that seem insurmountable, impossible. How you deal with people reveals whether you're his son or not. David demonstrated that because he understood how his father looked after him. Glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This man, David, had this awesome revelation. My mind goes to, is it 1 Samuel 17? We'll not turn there because it's going to take a lot of time. But where this same young boy was sent by his dad to take some cheese and breads to his brothers who'd gone up to help their army who were at war with the Philistines. You may remember it. And he wasn't allowed to go. He was too young. He couldn't do this sort of stuff. You know, what could a young fellow like that do in a situation like this? Well, let me tell you this. With God, one, whoever that is, giant in size or small, young or old, all it needs is whoever would believe him. All things are possible. And this young man went to the front because he had a relationship with this to do what his dad had said. But while he was there, he became aware that there was something wrong here. The great army of Israel was in standoff. And then whilst he was talking and finding out what was happening, suddenly this monster of a giant of a man came marching on the scene with a spear the size of a weaver's beam, they say, and challenged the whole of Israel to come and take him on. And as he looked at at the man of Israel, the strong man of Israel, his own brothers, and saw them begin to quaker, as it were, and you can read the words in your own Bible. I think it's 1 Samuel 17, and hear what they were saying. And David was so dismayed that his nation, his triumphant army, was acting like this over just one giant of a man. Do you know the words that he spoke when he found out if somebody could kill him, but there was no takers, then he would say, okay, Israel has won and we have lost. But if nobody can kill him one-on-one, nobody can kill him, then the whole nation of Israel comes into servitude to the Philistines. And he heard this threat come out of the mouth of this giant of a man. Hallelujah. I want to remind you of something. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Some trust in horses, and the Bible says, and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. With him there is nothing impossible. Hallelujah. There's nothing he cannot do. Everything that exists were made by him. The word says in Hebrews 11:3 that God framed the world. Hallelujah. With the words of his mouth. And the world was made out of nothing that was made. Glory to God. There's this young ruddy faced boy facing this situation where there's a giant threatening the tribe of the nation of Israel, and no men, not even his bold brothers, will take this man on because of the size of him. Mighty Lord, mighty God. And what did he say? This stripling of a lad amongst all of these giants who had such a reputation in war, who, if you read your Old Testament, you'll find out how powerful they were, and they were so powerful because God was with them and blessed them. They developed a confidence. And when this young man heard that his whole nation was in threat, he retorted, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to talk to the nation of Israel this way?" What was he saying? He was saying, who is this man that has no relationship, no awareness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob? Who is this man that doesn't realize who he's talking to? We are the circumcised of God. We are those who God has entered into covenant with. We are those who God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We are those who God says, "Your battles are my battles." Who is this circumcised Philistine? I don't care how big he is, that doesn't understand that. Because we do, and I do. And you know the rest of it from there. What happened to this big uncircumcised Philistine? Because one insignificant, ruddy-faced young boy dared to take him on. I tell you, with God, we can do all things. Let's put that in first person singular and say it with me. I. Let's wag a wit. I. That's me. Come on. That's you. Wag it your finger. I want you to do it. That's faith. That's faith. Come on. Don't be shy. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can. You just got to believe. You've just got to believe. You've just got to step out onto the water. Dare to believe, as Peter did when God's Jesus said, "Come." And he dared to step out. You know it. And so here, in this psalm, we're having an insight into this young man. This young man, by the way, who stood in defense of his nation. Now, one of the things why we've been away, and it is that's not consumed me or us, but we've been very much involved with it, is the state of our nation. And Brexit. And it seems like all hell is let loose against us as a nation. It seems like I have to be respectful, I have to find better words. The gentlemen in the EU who are leading and presenting the case for the EU against David Davis, who's representing the UK in the Brexit talks, is carrying on and talking and behaving as though we're nobodies. We're nobodies. We're a righteous nation. The United Kingdom has got churches in every town that there is, and increasingly powerful, spirit-filled, spirit-anointed people who know their God. Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Our nation is well represented when it comes to righteousness. I'm not saying we couldn't have more. We can always have more. But we're well represented when it comes to righteousness. And if you measure much of Europe when it comes to that, well, I'll not get too deep into these things. Just let me touch the surface. And it seems on every hand, there's not only things taking place in Europe that's setting parameters that are almost impossible to be able to live with. Well, we're not going to live with them either. But also we seem to have in Downing Street a bit of the spirit of confusion that's come in. That's all I can call it. Spirit of confusion. Seems like at times they don't see that they're on the same team. They haven't realized they're on the same team. We'll wait to the cabinet as well. Not aware that they're on the same team. Not aware that, regrettably, that they're responsible for a nation. Well, whether they do or they don't, praise God, one man, one woman can make a difference. One man and one woman can make a difference. I want to urge you to pray with authority over and for our land. I believe without question that the blessing of God is upon the United Kingdom. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I know the needs we have, but I'm very sensitive to the spiritual temperature of our land. And I also am sensitive to the fact that God has given the authority of the land into the church, into the hands of the church. And the church has to function as the church. If I equate, we seem to have gone on an interesting journey this morning, but if I equate what happened with young David there, that giant had been coming out several days already, but there was nobody amongst the ranks of the covenant people of God that stood up against him. There was nobody. They all could have. They all could have because they're in covenant with God. I want to tell you, you can. Yes, I can too. We all can because we all have the right to. I am no different to you. I was a sinner, saved by grace, but I'm a new creation today, just like you are that are born again. And we can stand against this that's taking place right now, and that's the Brexit. My Bible tells me in Timothy that we are to pray for those in authority. You know what it says when we pray for those in authority? It says when we pray for those in authority, it says we will live peaceably in the land. Let me just stop there for a minute. How can you live peaceably in any land if there is no jobs or hardly any? There's hardly any money flowing through it. If we're unable to have businesses and factories operating at the level we need to, how can you have that? You can't have. But the Bible says when we pray for those in authority, for those in government, that we will live peaceably in the land and in all dignity and integrity. In other words, we're not going to have to cheat to do any of this stuff, and we'll walk around with a dignity. Not trying to hide ourselves, you know, shamed. We'll walk back around with our shoulders back because we know who we are and we know how where we're going and how we're going to get there. It's because our God is alive. And his promise is a yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And in the same way as David demonstrated that, I want to present that to you this morning, having come this far, as what you should start doing for our land. Start standing in that gap. In fact, let me turn you to Matthew 5. Let's look at Matthew 5 quickly. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Great, powerful passage there. You'll know this very well. Matthew 5, verse 13. Listen to what Jesus is teaching. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. You know, the world's only protection from the curse. And if you want to know what the curse is, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The world's only protection from the curse is the church. This world is, why do we try to reach people to get them born again? That they'll not perish, but have everlasting life? That they will not go to a lost eternity? But we also know that the Bible speaks about a heaven that is waiting for us. But the Bible also talks about a heaven on earth. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants his kingdom to be on here on earth. What's the kingdom of God? The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and holy. The kingdom of God is. And God says we're to pray that that is on earth. In other words, we're to start getting in the line with it once we get saved and allowing righteousness, peace, and joy to dominate our life so we're happy all the time. The blessing of God is with us all the time in every circumstances. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All the time, we've got peace and joy because the definition of peace is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing stolen, nothing lost. You see, there's nothing to disturb your peace. The enemy isn't being able to pull a rug from under your feet all the time by this issue, that problem, or whatever it is. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing stolen, nothing lost. Hallelujah. I'm happy and I'm at peace. I've got nothing to worry me, nothing to annoy me, nothing to start to get me fretting and take my heart and mind off God because I'm kept by the power of God. That's who we are if we're born again. That's who we are if we live according to the Word. That's what righteousness is. And so here in this passage, Jesus is talking to the church. When he says, "You are the salt of the earth," he's talking to the church. He says, "But if it's lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And let me tell you, church, that's what happens to Christians that have lost their salt. They just live like their next door neighbor who never knew anything about Jesus. They're subject to the same sets of circumstances that the devil just rolls in, and they take it and they say there's no alternative. Well, there is an alternative. God in Christ Jesus has delivered us, I love the phrase, from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 2. He has delivered us from it. And listen, something significant happened when he delivered us. He delivered us, full stop, and translated us. Took us and put us into his kingdom, where it's peace and joy, hallelujah, all the time, through righteousness. He's talking to the church here. We can enjoy what David had, and we can do what David did for his nation, delivered it. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. They're going to know you're around. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe that's what God wants me to be saying to you this morning in relation to our nation. Stop hiding your light under a bushel. Stop leaving it in church. Go out there and carry the same light that you have in church all the way home, in your home, where you go to work, whatever you do, take the same light. It's the glory of God. Operate like you are not a Christian when you're in Christian circles, but you're a Christian all the time when you're in the presence of unbelievers and that those that don't like you. You're still a Christian. That doesn't mean to say you've got to rub somebody up the wrong way by reacting. It means you're still a Christian. And the Spirit of God in you, if you will let him, will give you wisdom how to function within that particular setting. But I guarantee you this, that same person, the Holy Spirit that lives inside the redeemed, enables us to be who we are. Did you hear me? to be who we are, and that is we are the redeemed. And we don't have to beg or crouch to anybody. We have to be those who just let God flow out from us. And God is love. But we're led by wisdom. We don't need the wisdom that's carnal, that comes from below. We need the wisdom that God gives us that directs our steps. I'm going to close. There's a lot more to pick up and say, but let me not just leave that hanging. Let me say something about what can we do with that. How can the church become that light in such a way that it can change Brexit? I'm believing for a hard Brexit. You know what I mean by that? We are going to come out, hallelujah, just as the children of Israel left Egypt. You know how they left Egypt? Don't. The Bible says, the word that he uses in the Bible, it says that that they, what's that word? Oh my goodness. And spoiled them. He spoiled. The children of Israel spoiled the Egyptians and took all their gold, and they just had to ask for it. And they, yes, sir. They gave him. What do you want? All your gold. Yes, sir. There it is. They came and gave it. Now, you can read that for yourself. I may have lightened it up a little bit, but it's exactly the truth. I'm just putting another image on it. But let me say this. I'm believing God. Plundered. I'm believing God that Brexit, we're going to have a hard Brexit, whether they like it or not. Because I believe the saints are looking to God, standing up. And a hard Brexit means that we will come out with what we need and want. I trust the British people, I really do, our government, not to overdo it. But they're going to come out with what we want. Now, you've got to believe that. What I want you to start doing is start being a David. You can start it from today. You got to start speaking it out, you see. You got to start calling it as though it is. Bible says in Romans 4, it says, even God who calls those things that are not as though they are. Romans chapter 4, that's my God. 2 Corinthians 4:13, what does he say there? He says, we having the same spirit, that is of God, believe, therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So what we are understanding the Bible teaches us is that we are to function to act like God says we're to act. So I'm asking you to start prophesying into being. But Pastor, I don't prophesy, I'm not a prophet. Well, let's lose the term and let's make it simple. Just start speaking out and declaring before God. And after you've declared it, thank Him for it, what you want us to come out looking like as a nation. We want to come out, we want to stay in control of the financial center of the world. We want to have free trade where we want it. Bit greedy you think I am? Well, I'm part of this United Kingdom and there's nowhere on the planet to compare with. Nowhere. Nowhere. You know, there's no one, no nation done more missionary work than the United Kingdom? None. None. Doesn't go forgotten. You can stand and declare. God says, ask what you will. Now, I'm asking you to ask it for our nation. Don't ask it, just speak it out. And then thank God for it. We're going to have healthy, free trade around the world. Do you know, I was saying yesterday, I think, while we're traveling, I became aware that Donald Trump, has recently said he's going to do a very, very quick trade, very large trade deal with the UK that will benefit them both. Japan is making a new trade deal with the UK. China is making a new trade deal. Whoa! We've started. Listen, start speaking these things out in the name of Jesus and thank God for it. Start prophesying it out. And forget the word prophecy in case that confuses you. Speak out what you want. When that, ask that in Jesus' name, it becomes prophetic and a prophetic request. I prefer to speak it as I believe it is. I call those things that are not, so they are. Will you do that for our nation this time on? Lord God Almighty, we're going to close. We give you thanks and praise. Yes, I better close my Bible. Eat this every day. Make it part of your mind set up. In fact, we'll be ineffective in the hand of God if we haven't renewed our mind with this word. This word needs to be what we think automatically. I don't think fear, I think what God says immediately. The only way you and I can do that is by reading it until it gets into our heart. Till we study it and we know this is truth. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.